Greetings again. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul concludes his letter to the church at Philippi, demonstrating once again his strong feelings for those at Philippi, for the brethren at Philippi. He encouraged them to be unified in real harmony and to find real joy in the way of life. He concludes by thanking them once again for their support in the work of God through Paul. You know, this is an excellent formula for every Christian success, and we'll look at it in a little more detail. Chapter 4, then, and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, long for brethren, my joy and crown. You can just feel Paul's attachment to the Philippians. They were his joy. They were his crown. They were the principal church that supported him and gave him really no real problems as opposed to some of the other churches. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So hang in there, Philippians, is what he was trying to get the message across. Of course, one way to do this, one way to increase that, was found in verse 2. He says, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. So Paul wanted these two women to get their attitudes in harmony. They weren't in total harmony. It wasn't a matter of just one being right and one being wrong. They had apparently kind of an attitude problem, and he wanted them to come together in harmony. Verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion. This word translated companion from the Greek can also be translated yoke fellow, which is an actual Greek name. So Paul was apparently encouraging this particular individual to help bring these two women together. It was important to Paul that there be total harmony in spirit within the church at Philippi. He says, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also. And Clement was also another co-worker of Paul who was part of the original group of converts at Philippi. And continuing, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life, an actual record that God has of all those who have been converted and will be in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, if they remain faithful. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, we can read of this book. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, Christ says. And also in Revelation 21:27, it says that those who are present in the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there actually is a book that God records our names when we receive His Spirit and when we remain faithful in that way of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So over and over again, we find true Christians, they have great joy. They should have great joy as a result of living that way of life that brings true happiness. God's way of life, God's spiritual laws, are the blueprint of human happiness. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness, being considerate, being unselfish, at times even yielding one's rights for the good of others. Goes on to say, the Lord is at hand. That's basically referring the Philippians to the big picture. The Lord is at hand, or will soon be at hand. At Christ's return, all human differences will seem totally insignificant. So work together in gentleness. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So he encourages the Philippians to be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't get all stressed out. When we have real needs, we're told in many areas that we can take them to God, and Paul tells the Philippians here to take them to God, to pass on that burden, to pass that burden on to God. We're also told in Matthew 6, chapter 33, Christ reminded us that if we put his kingdom first, coming kingdom of God, and his righteousness, that is, his character in the way of life, that he promises all our needs will be met. verse 7, and as a result, the peace of God, you know, this does give it us tremendous peace, the peace of God, the peace in our mind, knowing with assurance that God will provide all of our needs. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, it surpasses all understanding, that is, the understanding of those who don't know God. But we can have that peace, and we can understand that peace. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Of course, life can be difficult at times, but if we keep focused mentally, if we keep focused mentally on the way of life, if we keep focused mentally on the future in the family of God, we can have a very positive mindset, and it will be our reality. Verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul being their example, these do, and the God of peace be with you. So Paul was their former teacher. He established the church at Philippi, and he again encouraged them to follow his example, of course, as he followed Christ. And it says, and the God of peace will be with you. God wants us to have peace of mind in our life, in the present, and this is one of the fruit, one of the evidence of the Spirit of God when we are obeying God and following the very Spirit of God. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So Paul was expressing his joy one more time for their recent contribution to him, to the work of God, to Paul's well-being. He says there was a time when they lacked opportunity for a while. Possibly they didn't have anyone to carry the gift or the provisions from Philippi to Rome. But in time, those provisions made it to Paul. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So Paul did have a previous need, but Paul also had learned to be content. It's not a normal part of our nature to be content, but we can learn, as Paul learned, to be content, knowing that this life is simply training for the abundant life to come in the family of God. Verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul did have his time of prosperity, apparently, possibly before his conversion. And he had his years of need, even then, imprisoned in Rome. But he had learned to trust God in every situation in life. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So his real strength didn't lie within himself, but he was fortified by Jesus Christ, who lived his life in him. And this is the same strength that can empower us or anyone that receives the Spirit of God. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress, even though it was actually Christ who really supplied Paul's needs. Paul wanted the Philippians to know that they had done well in being used and being willing to be used by God in this manner. We're told in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So ultimately, the provisions for the work of God, for Paul's well-being in Rome, it came from God, it came from Jesus Christ, but the Philippians supplied the physical needs. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So Paul remembered an earlier time, approximately 10 years before, when Paul was leaving Macedonia, And they were the only ones, the Philippians were the only ones to contribute to his needs of the ministry and the work of God through Paul. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Here's one more additional example of the Philippian support for the work of God for Paul. When Paul was in Thessalonica, the Philippians again sent aid. Truly, the Philippians, they understood the spiritual principle taught by Christ, quoted in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the work of God has always been supported by the financial support of the people of God in tithes and offerings. Christ reminded the leaders of his day even that tithing, that is supporting of the very work of God, the agenda of God, should be done and not left undone. In fact, this is stated in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Christ said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. But Jesus Christ was clearly supporting the tithes and offerings to support the work of God. It's always been in effect. In the New Testament, we can see the evidence of that through the Philippians. They were supporting the work of God through Paul. Chapter 4, verse 17, continuing on in Philippians. Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul's highest priority was their spiritual growth. It wasn't the physical necessities of life, but their spiritual growth was demonstrated by their willingness to give to the work of God. Verse 18, indeed I have all and abound, I am full. So Paul's immediate needs were fully met. So at the moment he didn't need more. He said, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. The support of the work of God through Paul was considered a sacrificial offering to God. But God was well pleased with the Philippians' support of the work of God. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So God would do what Paul could not do in this case, and that is continually supply their needs as they supported the work of God. It's a spiritual principle of God that those who give generously to the work of God in this life, they are promised to have all their needs supplied and met in this life. Of course, God is not short of resources, and he can do that. Verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul closes by honoring our great God, the one who gives us life and breath and even eventually eternal life. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So Paul sends his greetings to every saint in Philippi, whom he looks at as his spiritual family at that time. Continuing, the brethren who are with me greet you. Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were close by his side in his efforts, they sent their greetings as well. Verse 22, and all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. That was those who apparently were doing the imperial service at Caesar's household, maybe even the palace guard, the imperial palace guard. Verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul closed the book to the Philippians by asking for the grace of Jesus Christ to be with them all. Paul wanted them to continue to receive God's grace, receive God's blessings, all of them undeserved blessings, but blessings and forgiveness that come from God when we obey him, when we give our life to him. In these four short chapters, we have seen a strong formula for spiritual success, a call for unity and harmony among church members, a need to develop the very mind and character of Jesus Christ. a desire to fully support the very work of God. The book of Philippians is a snapshot, a small snapshot of the early apostolic church, but it is equally a formula of success for today. Speaking of the apostolic church, we have a book that addresses this subject, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, and you can receive that book by simply clicking the order free button. And that concludes our discussion and our study of the book of Philippians. This is Jeff Fall for the Living Church of God.